Hello and welcome to another MyTunes podcast right here on MaxRadio.com.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Max Radio.
This week on MyTunes, I really should have paid closer attention to the seating arrangements and got my guest her chair, or rather, more specifically, her stool, her high stool that she always sat on when she was producing Manx Radio's coverage of the TT. Please welcome Eunice Cubbon to MyTunes.
Thank you. Thank you.
I love that stool. You always had your special stool.
Yes, from the day I started up there in 82 with the great Peter Neal. 82, yes. In the old tower, which was highly dangerous, I have to say, the wooden old tower, there were very few seating arrangements, and I just brought a stool, I think, from the depths of Manx Radio up here to sit on. With a plastic top on, I can still... Well, I've got it at home now.
Fantastic.
I took it home when we finished. It's sitting in my lockup, ready to go again, if possible.
Yes.
With some very good names on it of people who arrived in the studio and signed the top of the stool for me, like some Murray Walker and Martin Brundle and...
Beautiful.
Yeah, Carl Fogarty, a few other people signed it, so that's my favourite chair.
So if you haven't heard her voice, you've heard her talked about a lot over Manx Radio's coverage. Eunice Cubbon is my guest producer of the TT, but loads, loads more besides. I want to go back, as we often do, to growing up and music in your life.
Yes.
Take me back.
Yes, it was really prominent in my life because my father was like a concert pianist, couldn't read a note of music, by the way. He just sat down and played just off pat, and he could hear a song in his head and he would play it. But he also had a ukulele, which I've still got at home in its original box. And he would do things like George Formby's Standing on the Corner and making, you know, everybody laugh in the village, because the village was very small, and that's St John's Village, which is where I was brought up. And we lived in the post office at St John's, at the shop, the little shop that suddenly, or sadly, I should say, has closed down now.
Yeah, it's gone, isn't it?
It's gone. It's really sad to see that go. And I've got a fabulous picture of it at home, but it is what it is as times move on. But that's where I grew up. And the whole village was surrounded by the church hall, the music and the concerts that my dad used to put on. He used to teach ballroom dancing, and We had everything going on in the village. My dad seemed to be the centre of it, but music was always at the centre of that. And from then, he put me on the stage singing, and the local Eisteddfods and the Guild, etc. You know, I was everywhere singing.
So do you remember going on stage at the Guild?
I do. I do remember going on stage. I was 8 years old. There was a huge class, I remember. I think there was about 96 or 98 contestants in my class, and I was number 97. So we had to sit there for several hours,
yeah,
whilst everybody got up and did their piece. And yeah, I do remember it, and did it for many years afterwards.
Now, you haven't got the ukulele with you.
No.
Yeah, and you haven't got any instrument with you. Are you still singing?
I'm always singing. I'm always singing, and my daughter's always singing. Music's always been in our house. We always have had just... There's something that's resonated backwards towards my father, and it's brought music through the family. My brother plays a guitar and tinkles at doing things like that. And yeah, music is so important.
Which is more pressure when it comes to choosing just four songs for this little bit of nonsense.
Tell me about it.
So we've talked earlier about going through various artists. Well, should I have him? Should I have her? Who's the first one going to be?
Well, it has to go back to the Beatles and John Lennon, specifically John Lennon for me. Their music changed the world as far as I was concerned. I was brought up through the 60s and I knew every piece of music that they had. And for me, John Lennon's Imagine is just one of the best pieces of music ever written.
Sky.
This week on My Tunes, I've got a guest whose name you will almost certainly know. She has been the producer of Manx Radio's TT coverage for a while. Now, I know you gave us the amount of years. I just struggle to believe, Eunice Cubbon, that it was 1982.
Yes, 1982 when I started. So up until, obviously, we haven't had any for the last two years. It's 37 years. Never missed a race. Waddled up the tower, very heavily pregnant a couple of times, really? But still made it. Yes.
But there's loads more motorsport in your life. I want to talk about rallying. I want to talk about loads of things.
Yes.
Let's start with rallying.
Well, I think to the disgust of my parents, at the age of 17 and having bought a little Mini Cooper, I decided that actually motorsport was for me. And I took to doing some rallying, initially driving, doing some local night rallies and not really going very far with that because the costs were too great. But by 78 and 79, I was very fortunate to sit in with local driver Ian Corkle, who everybody will know from Corkle's Garage. And we participated in the two Rothmans rallies, international rallies, 78 and 79, with really very good success. So from there on, my life was surrounded by anything to do with rally cars. I sat in with Billy Evans, Glenn Leese, you know, some of the great rally drivers of the Isle of Man, and just done so much, really. It's been a massive part of my life.
But motorsport in general, it's in the veins, isn't it?
It is in the veins. And it's gone into my son's veins because he's doing exactly the same thing now. From the age of eight, he's been racing karts, so that's where it is.
Motorcycles. Did you do a bit of motorcycling in your time as well?
Oh, I have my motorcycle license, yes. So yeah. I have done some motorcycle riding, but the TT thing came from sitting on the hedge at Ballacrane as a child from a very early age. All the children in the village were sent off with packed lunches. We'd be there at Ballacrane waiting for the great sounds. That's the other thing, the sounds of those motorbikes back in those days, you know, in the 60s, and waiting for Aggo and Surtees and Halewood to come down through and change gear and get through the corner, and the smell of the Castrol. And it was really just something that I fell in love with that.
And the smell.
The smell of the Castrol, you know.
Yeah.
You don't really get that anymore.
No.
You don't get that distinctive smell, and the sound of those bikes was just spectacular. And
I mean, I don't know how you do it. I mean, I've worked with you, not since then, but 14, 15 years worked with you. And on various parts of the course and everything. But there is so much going on in a TT race, in an event. And you, just describe your role for someone who, I'm saying you're the producer of Manx Radio's output, but what are you, you're listening to about six different people. You've got a whole raft of different buttons to push to get people to go here, go there. How do you do it?
Well, I think it's come from the rallying as well, because you have to be very precise and you have to be on time, and that's a time limit thing. So in the studio, it's like a coordination of people, bringing people on air in enough time to catch the first bike on the road. That's just a stopwatch thing for me, and I've got a list of how I've done it over the years and updated those records so I know how quick it takes, say, John McGuinness to get to Ballacrane, Glen Helen, but you know, Balaff Bridge, you know, all those kind of things. And I have a running format on a sheet that I do. So then it's coordinating catching the first bike on the road to get to the next presenter in time. And then if we do need continuity from Broadcasting House, somebody is up here. I usually communicate with Ben or who is ever on stand at that time. And just making sure everything runs smoothly and that we don't falter by missing a bike that we should have known about. And I've got fantastic timekeepers and people who will say to me, such and such a person has gone missing. And then I can communicate with Control Tower, ask them where they are, what's happening, and try and get some information back so we can relay it to the public.
And it can be incredibly emotional because when there's an incident, you probably, in terms of the team, will be the first to know because you, as the producer, will get the call to say something has happened. You will also have in front of you all the various sector timings, and you probably know who's been involved.
I don't think there's been a time where we haven't worked out who it is, and it is very difficult. Yeah. You have to put that to one side. You have to take the emotion out of it, and I'm not saying that it's not emotional because it is, and I've been one of the first in tears when things have happened. Mm. But that comes with the territory of the racing, and specifically the TT. It's an extreme sport.
Yeah.
You have to accept it is.
Musically, where are we going today, Eunice?
Oh, right. Well, this was a big, big ask for me because I was torn between what I think is one of the greatest rock bands, Queen, in the world. I still do think that they've produced some of the greatest music. But also, my heart lies with people like Carole King and James Taylor. But one piece of music that has always resonated with me is the song from Richard Marx called Right Here Waiting For You. I just find it an extraordinary piece. Beautiful piano, orchestra. I just love it.
Oceans apart, day after day, and I slowly go insane. I hear your voice on the line, but it doesn't stop the pain. If I see you next to never, then how can we see? Got me going crazy.
halfway through the week on My Tunes, and my guest all this week is Eunice Cubbon. Now, Eunice, we have explored quite a bit about the TT and you being on your special stool, doing the command position with all those knobs and buttons. But I want to talk a bit more about you at Manx Radio back in the day before all that. What were you doing here?
Well, I started working here about 78, I think it was. And I was employed just to help out and work in the accounts department, but moved straight into what we call traffic. I don't know if you still call it traffic, and that's all of the building of all the commercials that need to be played throughout the day and the log that comes into the studio for the presenters.
Yeah, so it's not like traffic and travel. It is the trafficking of the advertising.
That's right.
Yeah, moving that through into making sure we play the right ones at the right time.
Yeah, and I worked with Patty Duke at one time, which is obviously Peter Duke's wife, and Jenny Watson was here. So we had a lovely little community of girls in the traffic department. It was all done by pen and paper. It was quite archaic, if you think about it now. But we did move on whilst I was here to the technical side of it, and it became computerised. And that's what I did. But it was that time that I was here in 82, that Peter Neal, who was then the manager of Manx Radio, who said to me, I need a right-hand man up at the grandstand to just do some coordination. And my hand was in the air as fast as it could be. And he said, well, probably through your rallying, you could do that kind of thing. So from then on, I was at the grandstand doing TT and Manx Grand Prix.
Brilliant. We've talked a lot about technology changing and things happening. We've had 2 years off, no TT, and no motorcycle events here at all, really. Well, hardly. There's a couple up north, to be fair. When it starts again, because it will.
Oh, it will, most definitely.
Is it going to look and sound different?
Is it going to look and sound different? It's not going to look any different. It can't really look any different. I think it may sound different. I think there'll be different avenues that people will be going down to produce the TT in a different way, more visual sides to it. There will always be a broadcasting side to it because the people want to hear that on the radio. They want to hear the sounds. I'm sure of that. I believe that to this day. And I still think that will continue for many years to come. Whoever is doing it, we'd hope to still be there, but we never know. Everything moves on, Mark, doesn't it? Technology moves on. I don't think on a course like the TT, you can't get the visualisation like you do at, say, Brands Hatch. You can do on the BBC or whatever. You're never going to get that. It would cost a phenomenal amount of money to have helicopters flying around, but you would only be able to follow maybe one or two bikes. There would have to be some kind of delay, of course, as well, for accidents and anything like that would happen. I don't think it will move on greatly. It will move on in bits, like everything does. It will move on slowly, but I think maybe there's more to the side of merchandising and relaying it to the public maybe more, maybe getting it out there a little bit more.
During this lockdown and all that's gone with it, there's been a massive increase in interest in the green agenda, particularly in motor cars and presumably motorcycles. Do you see the electric side of things moving forward as well?
Well, I think we had all hoped that it was going to generate more interest than it has done. And unfortunately, the grids were never really as big as I think we'd all wished them to be. And they're only ever going to be a one-lap race in the current standing. Yeah. Yes, it will move on at some point in time. I'm sure it will. I'm not convinced it's now. I think maybe another 10 years down the line, there may be two or three-lap races. And that will be really interesting to see. Because all forms of motorsport are going that way. Even the F1 side of it, they now have a race that's just an electrical race for that style of car. So it will move on. It's the noise for me. It's the sound for me. The noise of engines, bikes, whether it be a rally car engine or a bike engine. And I think also any enthusiast, that's really what they're here for. They love the sound of those bikes going around the course. But yes, the electric bikes will come to the fore. They will. They will eventually.
Eventually. Right. What a choice for Wednesday's track, today's track. Perfect, really.
It can't be anything else for me. It has to be Fleetwood Mac, The Chain. It has to be.
This week on My Tunes, we've talked about the TTs in the past. We've talked about Manx Radio way back. And we've talked about the future of the event. And my guest is Eunice Cubbon, who has kept this Manx Radio team in order for a good many years, high on her stool in the grandstand up there. Thank you for doing this. I want to talk about music today. We started with music, and I'm going to tell you, boys and girls, she did win her class at the Guild and was too demure to tell us. Congratulations for that. I know you were only eight, but well done.
Oh, thank you.
Got to get that in.
So, music. My father was very pleased.
Well, I bet he would. The whole family would have been. It's a big deal.
Oh, dear.
Going to see groups. You have been exploring your love of music. You've gone to concerts here, there and everywhere. Obviously, not so much in the last couple of years. But I wonder, we'll go to Las Vegas, if you don't mind.
Yes.
What a trip that was.
Oh, what a trip that was. My daughter and I went to Vegas, I think it's 3-4 years ago now, specifically to see Celine Dion, my daughter Abby's absolute favourite, and mine. We just both have had her in our hearts and in our souls because we both sing her songs, not very well, I have to add, but we both sing all of her music. We just love it. So we made this trip to Las Vegas. The night of the show, we got to Caesar's Palace. Fantastic auditorium. A beautiful place. I don't know if you've ever been, Mark. But
I have visited. I've never seen the show there.
Oh, it's fantastic. The sound reproduction in that studio is just spectacular. It's spectacular. And she just appears on stage. There's no great drama about her coming out. She just appears on stage. My daughter starts crying because she'd never experienced anything like this, and it was just for her to see this icon of hers. The show was just amazing, and it was a fantastic trip to have seen.
Well, hold the track for a moment, because I want to talk about other acts that you've seen and people that have really moved you, various concerts. Who else is up there for you?
I went to see Cher a couple of years ago, and that was in London at the O2. What a spectacular show that was. And did she sound good? She was amazing. She was, again, I went with my daughter. That was just something else. She sang all of her popular songs, and she did songs from the Mamma Mia 2 show, which was brilliant. I think it was called the Mamma Mia show, what case or something. I can't remember, but it was fabulous. And Michael Bublé, he's another artist who just puts out a fantastic show. Has this wonderful personality, brings you into, singing with them, standing, swaying your arms, and just a great, great show. But we've done theatres as well in London. I would go and see, and I probably have seen already, The Lion King about 6 times, and I would see that every week of my life. The music is just spectacular. The costumes, everything that just brings the whole thing together. And you find yourself singing it for days afterwards when you've been to these places.
They are totally, we talked about technology, but getting cleverer and cleverer all the time with what they can do on stage and in an auditorium.
Yes, absolutely. One of the other shows I saw in London a couple of years ago was the Tina Turner show. Now that was absolutely wonderful. And the girl that was doing or taking her part was amazing. I don't remember her name, but that was a spectacular show as well.
Will you be heading back in the near future?
As soon as I can. As soon as I can get that. The shows on the Isle of Man are wonderful.
Yeah.
At the Gaiety, they put on wonderful shows, and I try to get to as many as I can. But yes, I'll be heading back to London as soon as I can to see any show that's...
And will we get to hear you singing again at some stage?
No, Mark. Oh, it would be my daughter I would like to hear sing. She's the one that really should be on stage having a go, but she won't do it either.
Let us return to Las Vegas, because we haven't quite got to a special combination that really moved you.
Absolutely. Well, I saw Andrea Bocelli in London, backed by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. That was beautiful, beautiful concert. But since then, and having been to see Celine Dion, they did a wonderful duet of a song called The Prayer. And that moves me every time I hear it. I just love that piece of music. And these two together, for me, it's just the best.
Did he turn up in Vegas, though? No.
No, he didn't turn up in Vegas, no. And I've not seen them together. I've seen them both separately in concert. But as a duet, extraordinary.
It's been a wonderful week, Eunice. Thank you for adding a voice to our top producer of the TT output. And here's to, I've got everything crossed, next year that we're back in the tower.
Fingers crossed, Mark. Let's hope so. Thank you very much.
Thank you. What a brilliant way to finish a great week on My Tunes. Wonderful. Andrea Bocelli and Celine Dion together. Thank you to Eunice Cubbon for being my guest, and keep coming back to manxradio.com for more podcasts being added daily.